Yeah, a lot of people out sick. Frank has something too. And Brian and Phyllis are a little bit down and under the weather from a long weekend ministering as well. And Ray is recuperating. So why don't we pray and then we'll hit the ground running. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for those that have come out. We do pray that your Holy Spirit would teach our deepest needs and be the person that would answer the questions according to thy word, and that we would be liberated and freed to serve you in a greater capacity because we have unlocked whatever we've been holding back from you, whether it's been through bitterness or resentment or lack of repentance or even a lack of forgiveness for others that even don't even know that they've done wrong. But help us also to have wisdom to understand the difference between forbearing and forgiving, as we all have different idiosyncrasies and little quirks and so forth. That doesn't necessarily mean that that they're sinful, but might be a test for us to respond in a kind hearted way towards those that are a little bit challenging. So, Father, we do pray that you would help us understand what we've been going through and apply it to our everyday. And if there's any relationships that have been strayed, that you might give us courage to and humility to reconcile, and that your Holy Spirit would be pleased in conducting those conversations and softening our hearts. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's read a few scriptures, and then I'll ask you a question or two. Why don't we take, Pete, why don't you read for us Ephesians 4:15, Ephesians 4:32. Lisa, why don't you read for us Colossians 3:12 through 14. 12 through 14. And and then we'll have the rest of you, Donna, Matthew's Gospel 18, 15 through 20. Dave, Matthew 18, 21 through 25. Rich, if you're okay to read, Matthew 18, 26 through 30. And I'll read the end, and we'll kind of sit in Matthew's Gospel today. But let's just read some of the verses that we've gone over in the past, starting with Ephesians 4. Actually, you can read 4:2, 4:15, and 4:32, Peter. Thank you. Lisa, Colossians 3:12 through 14. Okay, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, starting at 15.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou shalt gain thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say, up to 20? Yeah. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth, shall ye bind in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall lose on earth, ye shall lose it in heaven. Again I say unto thee, that if two of you shall agree on earth, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. But where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Verse 21.
Then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how many times may my brother sin against me? I forgive him and let him go. As many as up to seven times? Jesus answered him, I tell you, not up to seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a human king who wished to settle accounts with his attendants. When he began the accounting, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, probably about 10. And because he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and everything that he possessed, and payments to be made.
The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. That servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he went out and went and threw him into prison so he should pay the debt. Good?
Yeah. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest of me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. May God bless the reading of his word. So we've been studying forgiveness and we've been studying repentance. And a couple times ago I had passed out some cards to each one. And I said, write down anything that you're holding in your heart that you need to relinquish to God, or the person that you need to forgive, or someone that you need to ask forgiveness and need to actually repent. Because we had read, we didn't read it tonight, but we had read the instructions on forgiveness, is that if your brother sins and you rebuke him and he repents, then you're to forgive him. And that's the formula, basically. So the Lord Jesus in Luke 17 taught us how we are to respond to sin in our own lives and sin, and when we are sinned by an offender sins against us, and when we sin against someone else, how we should respond. Now, we've read some scriptures tonight that we should respond with a character of meekness and humility if we're going to address another brother or sister that has wronged us or is living in a manner that is contrary to the will of God, which is sin. But we're also to examine ourselves before we go, because we are made of the same stuff. And if we become judgmental or harsh, then we bring condemnation to ourselves. Now, not as far as going to hell, because we're not going to go to hell if we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. However, if we do not have a forgiving spirit, and we call ourselves Christians, but we don't forgive others, the parable at the end of Matthew 18 is pretty clear. That person will be tormented. That person will be considered a wicked person. That person is not even saved. So, it's a warning to each and every one of us that a true Christian's fruit is a forgiving spirit. So, when I ask you to think about where's an area that you have not unlocked to the Lord, that you have held against a grudge against someone else, or you haven't forgiven someone else, or maybe you haven't forgiven yourself, to write it down. How many of you had something in your mind? You started to write it down. You were worried about whether I was going to read them, right? And I didn't.
Another card filled out both sides of the first one.
So, but I wasn't getting it for me. But the fact is that the Holy Spirit is bringing us through this whole last month or last couple of months from the podium and here. There's got to be some conviction going on. And it starts with the teacher. But I know you have some conviction. I could see it in your faces sometimes. And there was times that I would say, okay, we'll move on, because maybe you've had enough of going through this. But if there is something that is damming up the flow of blessing, then you must take inventory of your own heart and bring it before the Lord. And some sins we talked about should only go to the Lord. And number one, when we sin against the Lord. The Lord is the only one that paid the price, paid a debt that we could not pay, to free us and relinquish us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. However, our bad attitude or our wrong behavior or evil character of our sin could have overflowed to others. And we saw that in the lives of David and Bathsheba, but also his children in the Old Testament. And what happens if we don't, we saw that in Saul and Pharaoh, if they don't take accountability for their sin, it could have an impact on not only their families, the church, and the rest of the community. So, raise your hands. There's six people here. If you started writing on both sides of the card, then God was convicting you of something in your heart. Now, we also said, based on some of our learnings, that not everybody needs to know your business, okay? Sometimes we unload on people and say, oh, I got off my chest. I feel better now, but I have no change of attitude. I'm going to continue to sin, but at least I got it off my chest. Well, I just burdened everybody else with something that they didn't really need to hear. I need to learn to go to God, okay? And I got to be careful that, you know, when I come to Bible studies or I go to prayer groups and I share or I hear something, I think I have it in here someplace, that I'm not just going to get information so I could say, hey, look at how much I know. Oh, Joe has this problem and Mary has that problem. And did you hear about that person? And I don't pray for them at all, but I'm in the know. And quite honestly, a lot of us Christians like to be that way and need to have a wake-up call sometimes. Okay? Now, we had a good conversation last week and someone shared their heart, but it was only surface because there's a lot more going on. They're not here this week. They were supposed to come to two other meetings. They need our prayer. There's a spiritual battle going on for the hearts and minds of people. So, with that said, I would like to turn it over to you. Now, I can go through Matthew 18 again in detail, and I could talk about loosing and binding and stuff like that. But I want you guys to teach me a little bit. And I want you to think about this. What have you learned on the study of true forgiveness and true repentance? Number one. What has been difficult? What has been difficult for you? Now, again, we're amongst friends. You could be general or specific. But what has been difficult? Remember, have it open. Let's go over to Luke's gospel there. And I think one of the biggest things that I learned is when the disciples or the apostles, after the Lord Jesus said, take heed to yourselves in verse 3, if your brother trespasses against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him, and if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, we went through that. It's not, you know, flippant. You got to be thoughtful. You have to examine. You can't just forgive somebody, you know, without doing some examination, and they can't just think they're going to be forgiven without repenting, true repentance. But the Lord says, you forgive them seven times. You forgive them 70 times, seven times, meaning you don't hold any record of wrong. You're always ready to extend that forgiveness should they repent. And the apostles answered, Lord, in verse 5, increase our faith, Luke 17:5. It was a difficult thing for them. You know, that means I have to really examine my life before God, and I have to be ready to forgive and come alongside a brother or sister that might have faults and failings and fall into certain sins. I need to be there to help them see the truth, see the reality from God's perspective, see the reality of their sins, see the consequences of sins. And that might mean I need to work one-on-one with somebody and nobody else needs to know about it. Who knows about it if I'm working with somebody? If I'm doing God's will, do I have to get up on Sunday morning and tell everybody I'm doing God's will so that they know what I did throughout the week? If I'm giving God glory for working through a wretched person like me, it might be there. But when I come on Sunday, I should be captivated with him and his work. But what I'm saying is that, can I be approved of God and no one else know about it? It's kind of a rhetorical question. The answer is yes, right? So you can be working with somebody and nobody else really knows about it. Except for who? God. And so that's the whole point of our study, is that we are here. We are accepted in the beloved. We are, as Rich was saying, we have been adopted into the family of God, never to be separated again. We have been put into the family, placed into the family of God that we didn't previously belong. However, not everything we do is approved by God. Okay, we could be a disaster. We could be stinking up the place so much that he says, okay, Mike, time for you to go home. And that would be an act of mercy because I'd be home in the presence of God. And you guys would be relieved. Okay, so what has been difficult? So that's number two. And then three, what have you purposed to change by bringing to the Lord? Okay, so number one, what have you learned? Number two, what has been so difficult about this study? And then three, what have you purposed to change by bringing to the Lord? Remember, in 1 Peter, we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ example. Let me just read it because I love it and should memorize it all the time, but my mind gets all mixed up sometimes. Because for some of you, like the example from the podium, some of you, this is your scripture. This is the scripture. When you relinquish your will to God's will. You'll relinquish your rights to retaliate if you've been wronged. You have the person that wronged you, they're not repenting, or maybe they died, so you can't forgive them. What do you do? Well, this is your scripture. For even here too were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We need to give up our right to be offended and to hold a grudge. We need to bring the offense and the offender to God, and he will take away the sadness, the sorrow, the anger that you might feel, and he'll replace it with tenderness and mercy and love and compassion for those don't know any better. That's why it says the Lord himself was pitiful or full of compassion, right? And Pete was reading the scriptures on humility and meekness. That's how we're to address our brothers and sisters when dealing with these serious issues of life. Okay? So, you teach me. Let's take the first one. What have you learned? Does anyone want to be brave enough?
But the one thing that came to mind, someone came to me asking for forgiveness, and I was ready in my mind to forgive them, but it took a while to get ready in my heart. So I think you had shared that it was a process. Forgiving or asking for forgiveness isn't something that's could be done spontaneously or instantly. But so I was, after years, I was at the point where I'm ready to forgive in my mind because it was the right thing to do. But for it to get to my heart, that to make that, join the two together, to forgive in my heart, took a while. It was a process.
As humans, it's a process. Now, it could be instantaneous as well, but usually there's some soul searching, some soul digging, you know. Yeah. Right. Remember, we had said, and we took some liberty from some of the great godly men that went before us. We need to face the facts and feel the feelings. We need to understand why we hurt, why something's wrong. We need to understand how we hurt other people, if in fact we have offended them. So it takes some time, because we said that there was four ways we can respond. All right, you remember those four ways? Rejection. Ah, you guys are just, we could, evasion. Right? We could skirt the issue and say, oh, I'm the victim, all right, and not take it, ownership, not knowing how bad we hurt someone. Or regret. Regret is, oh, man, this is all hurting me. I feel real bad and everything like that, but I'm not willing to change. Okay? And the true response is true repentance, and that means that I need God to unravel my deception, because I've rationalized my sin. And the longer I've been in that sin, the longer my rationalization, my justification, and it might mean I may need that much time working with a godly brother, a godly sister, to unravel my thought life and my heart life before it becomes a change in my behavior and a character pleasing to God. Okay? So that's why I think that the process is hard, but you need to be willing. And God will. God will, and that's part of the faith, right? Increase our faith, realizing that God just didn't put it in the Word just because he felt like writing that day, right? Faith means that God can and will work out good in any situation for everyone involved, no matter what the situation is, if we obey his commands. Now, it doesn't mean that the consequences go away. Doesn't mean that, hey, if a child molester repents, he's not forgiven. He's just not going to work with kids anymore, okay? And you're going to have your eyes on him, all right? But there is life after sin, because we're all sinners, and we all have a purpose and a plan, and God wants us to be in circulation, being fruitful, and that's our job, to come alongside and help people to get back in the race. Because we all have a race to run to please God. We're not competing against each other. We're helping each other to walk in a manner pleasing to God. All right, good, good. Anything else that you've learned?
That I didn't really mostly like realize the pain that I may have caused other people without even realizing. In my attitude, or the way I said something, or how I may have offended someone, and you know, it made me realize to be more careful in how I say things or do things, or sometimes my voice, as I'm told, can offend somebody because I get so defensive, like I get defensive quickly. So I've learned, trying to learn to not let that be. A part of how I respond to people, I guess, and sometimes how I can hold on to issues that I don't think I held on to, but obviously they're there because they seem to come up again. So those were a couple things. I mean, there's more than that, but it opened my heart, my eyes and heart to that point, to that especially. Just trying to make a change in that, you know, and with the Lord's praying on it, and, you know, asking for the, like we talked about, I love that increase our faith thing, you know, that we pray for, and wisdom and strength to get through it all, and us, and there so being a better example to the, my family especially.
Yeah, we could be so bent on doing the right thing, and our heart is right, and that's why we're not to judge motives, because you can't see our hearts. But we could so be so unsettled, defensive, you know, impatient, and all those characteristics are what God wants to change in our lives. And so, taking heed of how we respond, taking heed on being self-aware, you said. That's the thing about in work, they teach us about emotional intelligence. Be self-aware, not just thinking about yourself, but how you are affecting someone else. Think about them first, you know. Now, again, some people, are, you know, when people get together, they're not always going to be clicking. So, you know, there might be something that is hindering them, no matter what you said, and no matter how you said it, they might still cry. It's happened to me. But being self-aware and examining how your behavior and attitude is being perceived on someone else is something that I think the Lord is making it very clear that, hey, you know what? You're not to be the judge, although you have a God-given wisdom to be able to judge spiritual things, but you first have to examine yourself first, because you might not be seeing it properly. You might be seeing it through your own clouded eyes, or, you know, getting the beam out of your own eye, because you're seeing things the way you think they should be. It's time to examine and say, hey, is this the right thing? or is that person just having a bad day, or that person, maybe I'm not seeing something right, okay? And, or maybe I'm not showing kindness to that person that I should be showing kindness. I'm too impatient, and so I'm not really showing them Christ. I'm actually hindering them or hardening them, which I think is a wake-up call for me as well. So,
I don't want to, it may not be what I want to be. You know, they might be in their minds thinking, dude, I don't know. I felt that at times, you know, but, you know, I just don't want to do that. And when you said that, it kind of like, oh, that's to me, you know, you really need to be careful. Well, I need to be careful, I should say.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword a little bit because, you don't know what you're going through. I mean, I don't know what you're going through, okay? And that day and stuff like that, I could be on cloud nine because I'm so preoccupied with something. I can't be holding that against you, you know? Again, for the sake of transparency, there was a lot of that garbage going on at the split, the assembly. Oh, you looked at me, or you didn't say anything to me, or they talk, you know, hey, don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge outward appearance. You know, what's going on in that heart? And in order to do that, you have to sacrifice your time and spend some time with that person. Hey, help me understand why you snubbed your nose to me. Oh, I snubbed my nose to you. I didn't know that. Well, yeah, you did 5 times. Oh, I better work on that because I didn't know that, you know, and yet I could be blowing something out of proportion and a guy just has a cold. You know, we have to be careful. And I think if we were honest and we went to our brother or sister that we have a perception that they offended us, we would clear up a lot of stuff from spreading or festering, okay? Or making a mountain out of a molehill because, you know, someone had a quirk and we, you know, we took it as an offense and they weren't really even thinking about us at that point. So I think we need to just be aware. And then if you're walking with the Lord and so forth, he's going to convict you, you know, if something needs to be straightened out. Pete and I talked a little bit about this, is that sometimes, even at work or something like that, if I just, you know, was chomping at the bit or something wasn't going my way and I didn't sit and listen, I kept going at something, I might have to go back and ask for forgiveness after, you know, looking at the situation. And sometimes going back and asking for forgiveness, number one, they don't expect it in the world, okay? Number two, it's usually not as bad as you think it is because you have a conscience because Christ lives in your conscience and he's showing you that, hey, you know, you could probably do better, okay? But at the same time, that person sees how the spirit of Christ in you could be a bigger teacher than if you had all the answers all the time and never did anything wrong. And I've seen that before because that shows humility. It shows that hey, you are a forgiven person and you can be a forgiven person to somebody else. And you can have real breakthroughs. I think that when we pray about revival, we always talk about let's go out and witness and evangelize to others and have them come in to know the Lord. But I think that that's great. At times I'm an evangelist, but I think what we need more of is breakthroughs in our own lives, that we have a breakthrough, that we see God's hand working in any situation, whether we messed up, whether somebody else messed up, that he's working all things for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Again, not all things feel good, but God can work in all things so that we don't have to despair of life. And that's even when we do mess up and people sin and it's even grievous, that we want them to be restored. We want to gain a brother or sister so that there's not so much overmuch sorrow and they despair unto life itself. Thank you. Anything else on what you've learned?
People very often get offended by Jesus. They just kind of like, oh, that's not your fault. Just because they don't like the truth. I'm not going to go back and say, please forgive me for offending you.
Right. No, it's a good point. I mean, we talked about that a little bit too, is that it takes courage. It takes courage to stand up and speak from the word of God or speak principle into somebody that is scripturally based, okay, because you make yourself a prey. That's in the scriptures.
I always start out by saying, you know, I know this because I've been going to Bible study a long time, but I'm not a straight-A Bible student. Mm-hmm. However, this is what I've been taught, and this is what I believe in because I follow Jesus. Sometimes I don't follow too close, but I follow him. And then I go into Jesus' teaching so that they don't think I'm...
No, but what I'm saying is that scripture we've learned in our study in Proverbs as well, in Proverbs 9 and Isaiah 59, is that anyone that stands out, takes a stand against evil, makes themselves a target of evil. So if that person or persons, whether they're believers or not, are not ready to hear the rebuke or the correction that is scriptural basis, okay, then you need to have some courage because they'll attack you. They'll talk to others about you and so forth like that to justify whatever actions that they don't like or alienate you from their group, you know. So it takes discernment of the Holy Spirit of when and what to present. Right. But you could present it from the scripture, present scriptural principle, do it with a great heart attitude, and still get clobbered. That's the spiritual way. I mean, that's just, and so we're not to get caught up with that, the rejection of people. However, we need to be equipped to be more discerning of when there is an opening that God might be working on that person in a way that they're receptive. But the same thing happens with Christians. I mean, I have addressed certain situations. And I've had people say, well, it's the way you said it. And then because they're rationalizing why, because the person left assembly. And so they blame me versus the person who was not responding to correction properly. Okay. And they were looking for an excuse to leave. I just happened to love them enough to address them. And they left. That's a cross I have to bear. Even of my own Christians, because not everybody is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and not everyone is living according to the scriptures. If we were living according to the scriptures, then we would take, we would not take sin for granted. Because what do we learn about taking sin for granted? Remember one of the studies, one of the brothers said, if we take sin for granted, a couple things. There are three things. What is, I think Galatians says it too. You remember? If we take sin for granted, knowing what we know about sin right now. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's a mockery to God to take sin for granted. To let your brother and sister continue in sin is a mockery to God. And what else? Because it says, God doesn't matter. You sending your son to die for sin doesn't matter. We forgive him anyways. Continue living that life.
My favorite. I don't know where it is. Maybe you know. Where is it? And when Jesus said, Jesus went away for a while and he sent his disciples out. And he said, you know, go walk through these towns and villages. And, but if somebody makes fun of you with my name, then just...
brush your feet.
What did he say? Kick the dust off your shoes and move on to the next house. I think that's great. And I do that all the time. Like, sometimes in a split second. And, you know, you'll say quietly to yourself, oh, God, hopefully this person will see the truth and then invite Jesus into their lives. But I'm not going to harp on them. Or like you said, you can put someone off if you keep at them like that. So I think sometimes one of my problems is I take that to the extreme, like within a couple of seconds, if somebody's just like, oh, yeah, whatever, David, if I'm talking about Jesus, then I'll just blow them off. I'm very good at it.
Yeah. So you're not getting caught up in their rejection so that you're not letting them bring you down or discourage, because that's a tool of Satan to neutralize you.
I just sense that I'm not going to waste my time.
Right. And there's the scripture to not cast your pearls before swine is the other scripture. So you're not going to keep, if they're going to keep.
Now, if that same person, as you just mentioned, gives me an opportunity to bring that subject up again, I will. But I'm not going to go after them about it. If I, like, I have friends that I've tried to invite here. I've mentioned things in the New Testament, what Jesus taught on a certain subject, and they just kind of laugh, and they're like, you really believe in that stuff? You know, you realize this is all just a fairy tale. People just made up this stuff. And it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I just kind of, whatever.
Right. So, but let's get back to that question. If you take sin for granted and you say, okay, you guys, go ahead, you can sin, and you don't address them, then you're making a mockery out of God.
Sure.
You, as a Christian.
Yeah.
And you're insulting God's work in Christ. So you have an obligation, and I have an obligation, to stand up against evil. How many of us do that? It's an insult, because someone had to pay for that sin. Okay, now you might have to say, hey, okay, you continue in your adulterous practices, you continue in your pornography, you continue in your whatever sin it is. That is a sin that Christ paid for on the cross. And if you don't repent, there's a place for you in hell. Let me know if you have any questions. Okay, we have an obligation. And the thing of it is, if we don't tell people, and really, it's easier for us to talk about telling people in the church, but then we don't really or we say it's the elders that do it, or address difficult situations. We're all equipped with the Holy Spirit of God. We're all got Christ in us if we're born again believers. Right. And I'm getting back to the fact that I'm not talking about evangelism. I'm just talking about sin in general. Okay. If you take sin for granted, Christians, it's a mockery against God. Okay. It's an insult against Christ, God's work in Christ. And it could be detrimental to the sinner and anyone affected by the sin. Okay, you're allowing them to continue. Remember, the things that could happen could have the reverse effect. It could harden the person's heart, right? It could cause them to continue to in their sin. It could continue. They'll continue to be deceived and think that there's no consequences. Deceived that they didn't even hurt anyone else. Okay, so we, even though it might be tough, whether it's a Christian or non-Christian, if we find out about a sin or something like that, I'll just give you a case in point. Anyone here working with kids, there is any perception of impropriety? We're not even to do investigation. We're mandated reporters to report it to Children Family Services. All right. So we got to be very, very careful that we don't let something go. You just take the Catholic Church and how they just moved priests from one parish to another, and yet they were exploiting children throughout all the ages, even the Southern Baptist Church or something like that. We have to be very careful that we don't shove sin under the rug, because it always is damaging to somebody, okay? And anyone that is has a shepherd heart is wants to be there protecting the most vulnerable among us. So, again, we can get into how to talk to people, evangelism. That's good. And some people are better and have more opportunities. Dave's in the public eye. Rich is out there. The ladies, you're doing a good job. One-on-one evangelism and stuff like that. But the whole point of forgiveness and repentance is sin, dealing with sin, okay? And if you could talk into... until the cows come home. But if you're not going to get to the sin, then you have nothing to talk about. Because unless they realize that they're a sinner, there is no need for a savior. That's evangelism 101. And who was a great teacher of that? He's a great teacher, yes. But it's going to scripture. Let's, of course, Jesus. Okay. A woman. The marriage of Canaan, she said, just do it. Do whatever he says. But recite to me what Mary said that showed that she was a woman full of grace. That she, right, because grace means to find favor in the eyes of the Lord. How did she find favor in the eyes of the Lord? She had a baby. What's the scripture? It's coming to Christmas time. When I come back from the wedding, you'll be singing Christmas carols, and you should know these scriptures. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my, what? My Savior. It's the greatest gospel message. She was once a sinner, just like you and me, and she recognized the Savior and found grace and favor in the eyes of the Lord. That's why her soul could magnify the Lord, because her spirit had rejoiced in God as her Savior. She was saved. She qualified as being saved because she recognized she was a sinner in need of a Savior. She happened to carry him into the world, which is overwhelming, mind-boggling, and all that stuff. But that's a great gospel message. So use Mary every once in a while. Don't pray to her. Okay. All right. What has been so difficult besides listening to me? What has been so difficult in anything, in forgive, and actually being able to forgive or be able to change or have the courage to address people? What has been difficult? I know I'll use my father. You guys let me know if you want me to send this. I think it's taping. But my dad has a hard time on something that he perceived he treated someone 90 years ago. He's only 85. And he holds on to it when he needs to commit it to the Lord, especially if Depton is no longer here. The Lord can reach someone if they are here, but they're across, they're in Nigeria, and you might not see them if you needed to ask for forgiveness. But God can reach their heart and take care of them. That's why we must go to God, okay? If the person's not here, they're dead, then you don't worry about forgiving them. You still go to God and you relinquish them to God, okay? But if somebody's still alive, all right, you offended, but they're in Nigeria and you're never going to see them again, okay? You might want to go to God before you get into your car and drive to Nigeria, all right? God can reach them faster than you can. You believe that? All right? That's faith as well, okay? It could be. And we said, and we laughed about it. I said, really? You think that's funny? They kind of, you guys thought I was serious. But really, if someone passed away or something like that, but you feel strongly after going to God that you need to go to that family or near relative and express, you know, your sadness over something, or God might use you to, you know, repay them in some way, then it's between you and God. And if God says, hey, I've cleansed it, they're covered, move on. Yeah.
It is a process that you learn to let it go. And sometimes you think you've forgiven, but you still have that, or ask for repentance, but you still have that in you to hold on to, and that's the barrier that you're holding, that you, once you let it go and you release, you're free from that.
Now, is it okay to recognize what you just said and continue to pray to God every day, that situation, that person, that prayer? Or do you have to feel guilty that you're taking it back every day because you're thinking about it? No, I don't think so either.
Possibly want to let it go and, you know, have that you know, that he knew that to let it go, but there are times that it's a process. I don't know how.
Well, that's the problem. That's what I'm saying. That you know, don't feel like, hey, I'm taken aback because I prayed it yesterday. I must not have enough faith because today I'm still, you know, I'm still have it on my mind. Okay. That it's a bad thing. I'm going back to God and say, Lord, you know, and, you know, it could be that each day you're letting go and letting God. All right. And he's working within you. Exactly. And so don't feel like, oh, I gave it to God and he's taking it back. Now, if I just gave it to God and took it back, that's kind of not thoughtful at all, okay? Thoughtful is turning, you know, turning the world off, getting up before your husbands and wives and kids get up, and spending some time with God, and talking with God in prayer, and letting your deepest needs be known to Him. If they're the same needs every day for a certain period of time, well, guess what? He's working there, okay? Yeah, he's getting to the deep. He can see the deep. You and I only see the shadows. So I think that's something that's hard or difficult to understand until we go deeper with God. And because I think there's a lot of misconceptions that we kind of make ourselves feel guilty because we're not fast enough to where we think we should be, or we think somebody else thinks we should be. Okay? Because my dad always says this, you never walked in that man's shoes or seen things through his eyes. All right? No one could walk through in your shoes or see things through your own eyes. Okay? But we can help each other out, don't get me wrong. But you don't live for me, you live for Christ. And then I might follow you into the blessings, but you live for Christ, and so your personal relationship with Him is the most important thing. And that takes time. It takes a whole lifetime. That's why you're still here. I want to be like Enoch. What was Enoch? That's what I want to be. He didn't need any more cleanup on aisle 7. He was ready to go home. I want to be that close to God that it's no big change on the day that Jesus calls my name. That's Wayne Watson's song, too. I get mixed up. Either that, those songs, and then I come into, what's his name?
Yeah. I think that's what this is about, is when we're in sin or when we're missing that time with God, we're losing that time we should be spending with Him because of whatever is going on in our life.
Yeah. And we need to want to change. And if you want to change, you'll be willing to spend time with God and be able to bring anything before Him. He already knows what's on your heart. He wants you to bring it before Him. Now, He might bring others into your life and you might have to accept that. Hey, if I'm going to get over an addiction or something, I have to be going to AA or something like that. All right. I have to be willing to be humble enough to take the steps. So I need to meet with a spiritual brother or spiritual sister. So thank you for that conversation. How about we'll end on this question. Have you purposed to change? What have you purposed to change by bringing to the Lord? Is there anything that you have, that you haven't said now, previously, that you, through the study, purpose to be more faithful to bring to the Lord? Like the Invincibles. shield, yeah. Yeah.
And you for the other, for like the that person that
Yeah. One of the things that is, I know Brian has brought it up, and I've had similar situations where you feel like, oh, I don't want to sit next to this person today. Next thing you know, they sit right next to you. You know, and whether it's at work or, you know, someone that you might be having a difficult time with, you know, and next thing you know, a guy's got a sense of humor because he pairs you off with that person. I think that we need to have more courage. That takes that. We have to sometimes think that it's the reverse of what we would think. We need to address, we need to get back with that person before anything. Any wedge gets in there. And I think that it's human nature to put wedges in there. You know, we have family stories where aunts and uncles don't talk to each other. They don't even know why they don't talk to each other. It's just that one of them is not, they're not going to budge, but they don't know why, you know, and then they go through their whole life and then they die, you know. And, you know, I think that what need to be more courageous in bringing people to the Lord, and then you know, those things grow strangely dim when you get in, you know, together, and he wipes away any animosity that you might have or they might have. I don't know, has it ever happened to you? I know it's happened to me in church, and in church where I don't think somebody wants to talk to me, and next thing you know, my fellowship is with that person. At work or something like that, there's a conference. I don't, you know, I hope I don't sit with this guy. Next thing you know, I'm sitting with that guy. No, it's just kind of a humorous thing. But God knows your heart and stuff like that. And it's something that you wouldn't necessarily do in your own power or in your own strength. And I think that that's what we've come down with, probably the greatest lesson, that whether it's forgiveness or repentance, has to be by the goodness of God. It has to be by his grace. You know, forgiveness is an act of grace. Corey Ten Boom, you know, the cruel prison guard who had repented and was asking her for forgiveness, you know, her spirit was willing, but her arms were weak. You know, it had to be God's strength to, you know, and the prayer to extend forgiveness to the repentant Nazi prison guard. And I think that that is something too, that, you know, we may need to forgive ourselves sometimes because, hey, you know, we kind of blew an opportunity, but God will give us another opportunity.
Doing all that, he was probably just like a robot, you know, just following orders.
Yeah.
Until he came to the, you know, that saving faith.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing too, is that a repentant sinner, after finding out how bad they were, mm-hmm. you know, could despair unto life. You know, Paul has in 2 Corinthians, we went over in 2 Corinthians 2, that, okay, you did right by putting them out. It finally put the person out that was in sin so that you were protecting the flock. But now they've repented. You need to bring them back into fellowship, okay? Otherwise, they're going to have, the King James says, overmuch sorrow. And that could lead a Christian to despair of life itself. You know, so that's why it's so, you know, the sensitivity of sin in our lives can't be taken for granted, because it could mean life or death to people. and definitely could be the quality of life as well. So thank you. Next week, hopefully, the rest of the Saints will be back. We'll be on our way down to North Carolina, so we'll miss you for a couple weeks, but you'll be in our hearts. So thanks for working this out with me and helping me understand it a little bit better, maybe scratch the surface or maybe one level under the surface. All right. Any final prayers before we leave? Yeah. Danny had the MRI today. Yeah, he's having a tough time. Yeah. Yep. And then Dad, hopefully he gets better breathing. But he had a mucus. They had to get indirect cells because he had a mucus blockage in his lung, so they didn't get to the spot that they thought was cancerous. So it might not have been affected, although it was the more invasive one, and they got a picture of the lymph nodes, and they're clean. So that means that whatever cancer he has is really early stage, and maybe a radiation zap might do the trick. Although, you know, he's got COPD, and he's having a little bit of problem breathing there. But the signs are good if you're into signs. And hopefully he can come to the wedding next week. That's the first thing, he was groggy. Maybe I'll give him this tape. And he was finally making sense. I came into the recovery. Oh, the doctor said everything went well. I can go to Michaela's wedding now. And it was like, wow, that's on your mind. So,
he's still in UConn right now.
No, it was in and out early Monday morning. He was, we were back to his house about 10:30, 11 o'clock. He went in pre-op 6:30. Was in recovery around 10 o'clock and brought him home. Yeah, so keep them in prayer, hopefully to stay awake as they're driving. Yeah, actually, he wishes he was here, especially when he found out that not too many were here, but he should stay home a little bit, just rest. Lisa, yeah, and Frank is not feeling well. And then Lisa's going flying out on Friday, and then if you have any extra prayers, I'll be at Westwoods, but then a week from Sunday, I'll be conducting the wedding. Eric Broadbent and I will team up. He'll do a devotion, and I'll do it. Got a nice write-up from Ray and Brian to vouch for me. So it's good. Thank you very much, everyone. Got still working on me.
One time, way back at a study, it was on the Okanowski, that's how far back it was. Brian said something that even the Lord God never stops working within us, even like he was probably relating to the millennium. And I went, what? Are you kidding me? And he said, what's the matter? I'm like, does it ever end? I think that's why I have a little hard time with the millennium thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh my gosh.
I need a break. I need rest.
I think another word for millennial is rest. But we'll be resting in him, and we'll have the strength to serve him with a capacity that we don't understand now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all the same. And I left there with that attitude, went home a few weeks later, I'm like, oh my gosh.
You were on fire. I remember back then. You were pretty strong with the basics. You wanted to be discipled and you were very faithful. You know, I mean, you still are. You were on fire for the word.
I think I was letting influences from whatever, but
So the hospital, ever since the two police officers were shot, we all knew them. I didn't know them personally, but I saw them all the time in the ER. And as soon as I saw the pictures on the news, I'm like, oh my gosh, those people, they were, they worked the same shift that our team works. Like, we usually do like 7 to 7 or 10 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
I do 10 to 10. And so they did that, like, stretch of 12 hours. So we always saw them. So a lot of nurses, especially there's a few of them that knew them personally, and there's this one nurse that her husband is a detective at the Bristol Police Department and was with them when they first got out of the academy and they joined the police department. He was with them throughout all that, going through the ranks and teaching them. And so they were frequent guests at their house for barbecues and whatever. They were good friends. She's having a really hard time because she's also, her husband is a detective, although he's not patrolling like the patrol, I don't know what they call them. They're not called street cops, but it's the state patrol, yeah. And so a lot of the nurses were like, I've heard phrases like, I'm just giving up on humanity. This whole society is just in the toilet. And I've been hearing a lot of those phrases. And a lot of the nurses, not so much now, but the first like week after it happened, they were, where I work is like, it's not an office. It's a big room where doctors come in and dictate orders in the computer and stuff. And I'm in one side of that room. And it's called the quiet room because the doctors come in there and do their thing. So that was a room that all the nurses seemed to like kind of go into and just break down. And I'm like watching this. I'm like, oh my gosh. And they're all tough. Nothing bothers them. I've never seen a whole group like just break down before. So I don't know. I want to do like gather a few of them. And what comes to mind is where Jesus said, peace I leave with you, not as the world gives you. And it's talking about the unexplained peace that he gives, or the peace that surpasses understanding. Because when you're going through something like that, you have no right to have peace because there's a lot of sadness in your life. And I don't really know how to present it to them, though. I want to give it a little time because I didn't want to go up to them like the week after and say, hey, Jesus said if you pray for peace, you're going to get it. They're going to get all like mad at me. I don't think they'd get mad at me, but they'd be like, it just wasn't the right time. I didn't feel like it was the right time. But I think now that we're getting like into the holidays, well, I don't really know how to approach this. And I know a lot of the nurses are like, they don't rebuke Jesus, but I don't know where they're at in their belief or, but I guess that part doesn't really matter. It's how I approach it, but I don't know what to do. I mean, I've been praying about it, so I have faith that God will, Jesus will, like we were just talking about, give you an opportunity to just interject that stuff. But I also want it to happen sometime soon because they're really like broken down about it, and they're also very disgusted about society in general. And this thing that happened just kind of like pushed everybody over. I don't blame them. I mean, society is in the toilet right now.
They see a lot.
Really is.
The bottom line is the more you take God out of everything, the
that's
more
correct.
We see this. I mean, I was reading a story today about it. It was a Catholic priest, but it was in Ireland. He was filling in for another priest who was away, and he got up to the pulpit and he just preached about sin, you know, abortion and transgenderism and all these things. And then he got rebuked by the bishop.
Oh, yeah.
And then he told the bishop, you know what? Up your nose with a rubber hose. You know, this is how I feel, and this is what the Word of God tells me to tell you. And, you know what I mean? And he stood his ground, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He got rebuked by the bishop for wanting to appease the people and apologize for, you know, and then they wouldn't let him fill in until the other priest came back.
You're right, though. That's the problem with society today.
Well, like I shared that story with you guys. I told the kids about, you know, about a Bible, and a couple of kids didn't even know what a Bible is in K through 5 school. And it was like, you know, it's time to go down there.
I know, I gotta go down.
Sorry. Well, keep that in prayer. There's no silver bullet, and again, you need to pray that they be receptive. Otherwise, they'll just, you know, trample on you.
No, they wouldn't do that. I mean,
Right.
I would pray for courage to bring them together and pray with them.
That their hearts be prepared as well.
You know, when we lost people after the fact would come up to us and say, I didn't know what to say, so I didn't say anything. And for me personally, I took offense to that because if you really don't have anything to say at all about then, you know, and it was, you could have at least done something, said something, sent a card, anything, but you often hear that phrase, oh, I didn't know what to do, or I didn't know what to say, so I didn't do anything, and
that's even worse.
It was worse. Mm-hmm. It was worse.
And what was it, Katie Sorrell sent a scripture like every day or something, mm-hmm. card, So there are, you know, you got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, you might not be able to bring the whole group in and, hey, we're going to pray. It might be just one person sensitive and you can speak to that one person and that you want to look for that opportunity and God will give you the wisdom for that opportunity.
There's three specifically. Everyone's very close in there in that ER. I don't know anybody that does the overnight shifts, but I mean the morning and daytime into the evening. We hang out together. They do things together. Everyone's really, really close.
Good.
But as you said, I don't expect the entire first and second shift to gather in the quiet room with me. But there is.
But it might lend to, you know, you guys mind if I pray for you? And if they say, yeah, but not now, not here, then thank you. But if they say, yeah, could you? Feeling kind of cruddy.
Or even like
be ready to pray.
A Bible verse, like, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, you know, come to me. And, you know, something like, find a place to just pick a Bible verse.
I want to read the
Wear a shirt with the scripture on it.
Peace, yeah.
So, you know, those are all methods and techniques and so forth like that. The key is praying, God will work on both sides and be ready. You know, the scripture says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and then what? Be ready, right? So if you're prepared, he'll use you in that. And Dave, he's probably already using you, okay? Unless there's some kind of blocker in you with him that you have to, you know, confide in the Lord. He's already using you. There, you have to find out, is that okay? Maybe somebody's waiting for you to open your mouth and speak to them. Now is the wisdom, because not everybody's ready to hear, and some might not be ready for a while. Okay.
Yeah, nobody would take, like we started out tonight, nobody would take offense to it. Some might be like, I don't really know what you're talking about, but okay. But nobody would be like put off by it. Hmm. Yeah, I know them well enough to know that. But,
all right. Well, thanks for hanging in there. We'll pray and get going. Father in heaven, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the good conversation. Thank you for teaching us, and thank you for your faithful servants here that found the fit to be here and be thoughtful about the things that are important to you and to not take you for granted. We confess that there are times that we have and we thought of ourselves more highly than we ought to, and we just pray that you would help us to be other-minded by thinking of the other person and to think about them as how Christ would treat them in word and deed and even in our mannerisms, even when it's hard, that we would really have a sense of belonging to you and knowing that you're ever present with us at all times. And we thank you that we have the fellowship of the believers, that we can come together and know that you're in our midst, and that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Bless those that couldn't make it today, that had strenuous ministries and blessed ministries, as well as those that are struggling with colds and different procedures, that they would have breakthroughs and breathe easier and enjoy the beautiful weather that you have. Give traveling mercies to those that are traveling home tonight, as well as those that are traveling to North Carolina in the days and week to come. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Thank you again.